The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. But then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved, listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And they were coming down the mountain. He ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of our God, the source of all life, love, and light, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. During the summer of 2015, a couple of our adults, in addition to myself, took six of our youth, six teenagers, up to Acadia in Maine. This was the pilgrimage, and a pilgrimage is a combination of spiritual retreat and mission trip. That's what we've been doing every so often with our teenagers, and we're about ready to launch our next pilgrimage this coming summer, so we're gearing up for that. But we had we were up there for an entire week, and it was a combination of doing lots of service projects around Acadia Park and doing a lot of outdoor adventure excursions. And at the end of the week, we were processing the whole week with our young people, and we asked them what they enjoyed the most. And all of them had various answers as we went through the week, blow by blow, looking at the different activities. But there was one that stood out among all of them, all right? And I'm going to have you take a vote here in a second. I'm going to go through the list once of all the some of the activities that we did, and then I'm going to have you vote as to which one they all thought was the most experiential and powerful, all right? So here they are. So one of the great things each evening that we did was that the kids cooked, so the adults didn't have to. And we divided them up into teams, and it was kind of a friendly competition, and the adults got to judge. It was like being on one of those TV shows, you know, cooking shows that you judge who's doing the good food and what the process they use. It was a lot of fun for us. I'm not sure if the kids enjoyed it as much as we did, but and let me tell you, some of the kids were phenomenal cooks. Some of them, you know, we lots of water to get it to go down, but that's okay. Everybody got participation points, all right? So that was one of the activities, the dinner competition. So that's one of them. Another one was sea kayaking, which was absolutely fantastic along the coast of Maine there. There was only one kid that was scared that a whale was going to come and like topple him over, but that didn't happen. So sea kayaking was one. Another one, we did a lot of hiking. One in particular, we went up to the pinnacle of the mountain, at the mountain peak, and we stayed up there for a little while. So that's one experience. Another one was we devoted an afternoon to shopping in Bahaba, as they say, in Bar Harbor. So those are the four kind of main activities. We did lots of other activities, but those four are what I'm going to offer you. So how many of you think that all six of them really enjoyed the dinner competition? Any takers on that? Raise your hand. No? All right. One person at the 8 o'clock service did, and she just said, "I like food," so I'm going to vote for that one regardless. Sea kayaking. How many of you thought that the sea kayaking was the... All right, we got a couple takers here. All right, how about hiking to the top of a mountain and staying there for a while? A number of people. Some of you were paying attention to the gospel, weren't you? Yeah, Shopping in Bar Harbor. Nancy, you're raising your hand because that's what you would do, right? Yeah, exactly, yeah. It is climbing up the mountain and being at the top of the mountain for a while. That was by far their favorite activity among all six of them. And let me tell you why. The scenery was phenomenal up there. You would look out and see the mass of blue, the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, absolutely beautiful. And you would see the islands dotting the coast. So that was absolutely breathtaking. We were surrounded by majestic pine trees. And then you would look off another direction and see more mountains. It was absolutely phenomenal. And we got up there. It took us about 2 hours to get to the mountain peak. And I think the kids partly liked it because they were exhausted and they could just sit for a little while. But they were also, we encouraged them to go off and just have some quiet time. Some of them journaled. Some of them just looked at the beautiful surroundings. But it was the only time in the trip that all six kids weren't saying something at once. You know, it was great for the adults too. Maybe that was by design. No. But they really had a powerful experience. And then we gathered back together, and we celebrated communion. We found a rock that we made into an altar, and we celebrated. We took bread and wine that was packed in my backpack, and we had communion together. It was a very powerful, powerful experience. And then another powerful experience that we had while we were there, in terms of a God moment, was that we had the opportunity to go stargazing on the beach, at First Beach on Acadia. And there's minimal light pollution there on the island itself, but particularly at Acadia. There are no street lights or road lights in the park itself, which was a little scary when you had a bunch of teenagers in a van and you're trying to get back to your cabin and there are cliffs all around you. So that was a little nerve-wracking. But anyhow, it was absolutely stunning to see the night sky lit up with all these stars and the moon, and you can see stars that you've never seen before up there because it's dazzling. It's partly location, and part of it's because there's a lack of light pollution. And so we're on our backs on the beach looking at stars, listening to the waves coming in. Beautiful. And then we gathered together and we prayed Compline, which is our night service in our prayer book. It was very fitting. And I think that's where some of the adults learned how to use the flashlight app on their iPhones was that night because we needed it to read the prayer book. So the kids showed us what to do. It was great. So those were two very powerful experiences that we had with God in nature. Our Celtic Christian friends would call these places thin places. And a thin place is a place where the boundary between the holy and the material, heaven and earth, are almost non-existent. There's almost no boundary there, that the holy is very palpable there. And the best way to describe it is that you have this profound inner peace, that you know that God is with you. So the Celtic Christians would identify certain places as thin places. Mountains were typical thin places to experience the divine. Also, a grove of trees. So a lot of Celtic Christians would not have a building. They would just worship out in the forest, which is what the Druids did prior to Christianity reaching the Isles. And trees are very symbolic and holy to them because they connect all the different planes of reality. So you have the roots deep down into the earth. So you experience God in this rootedness or groundedness. And then we get to see the tree trunks, right? You know, and that's kind of on our plane. And then you have the branches reaching up to the heaven, reminding us that God is also above us. So God is below us, God is with us, and God is above us. So that's why trees were a thin place, and particularly grove of trees. And then wells and streams were thin places as well. And that's why we have this. This is left over from our Celtic service last night, which we focused on St. Bridget of Kildare. And that's why we have this This well, this makeshift well, it's symbolic of St. Bridget's well in Kildare. And Kildare, by the way, means Church of the Oak, to focus on that oak or trees being a holy symbol to the Celtic Christians. Well, they loved going to wells because they felt that that wells were life-giving, that water is life-giving, and it comes from the womb of the earth to give life to the world. So St. Bridget would use wells for medicinal purposes. She would take the water from it and go around the countryside sprinkling people with this holy water. And they said that it made them whole, or at least made them feel better. And it was a powerful experience. So in Ireland itself, and if you go to other parts of the British Isles, there are holy wells and streams everywhere. Ireland itself has 3,000 holy wells and streams, and a goodly number of them are dedicated to St. Bridget. So I invite you for a moment to reflect on those thin places in your own life, whether it's it could be your favorite chair on your back porch, sitting there. It could be a stretch of a path on a hike. It could be a mountaintop. It could be a baseball park. It could be any number of places where you find the divine and you have that great sense of peace. It's a life-giving peace. So I invite you to reflect on that for a moment. And then also, today, I want you to reflect on this holy well as we gather around it at this baptismal font and the beautiful font that we have. As we gather around that, I invite you to use the holy well as a metaphor. And I offer this quote by Gay Barbizon, who wrote Bridget's Kildare, The Fire, the Well, and the Oak. And she says, "A holy well is very special. To watch water springing from the earth is to witness creation in the act of pure, unconditional generosity. At a holy well, my own interior holy well has an opportunity to make itself known to me." End quote. So how is your interior holy well making itself known to you? Giving you calmness, giving you serenity, giving you hope, giving you assurance that you have life and possibility deep within you. Because God, our font of every blessing, dwells at the very core of your being. Amen.